out, that's a whole other thing, isn't it? You know, you may be an heir, you know, but you may not actually have everything that you've inherited yet. In Galatians 3, and we're going to begin reading in about verse 26, he said, "You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Glory to God. Got any believers here? He's talking about you. He said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek." Now I'm going to say something here, you know, may upset your apple cart a little bit. I'm good at that, aren't I? You know, I think it's wonderful and all, you know, about, you know, what we call Messianic Jews and everything. And I think that's wonderful and all, you know, and but we've got to be careful that we don't go back under some of those old things. You know, I talked to a believer, used to go here to this church, a believer, and brand new, baptized, you know, baptized them myself. But, you know, I began to see that they weren't attending, and I called them up to follow them up. Well, I'm over here, you know, with this Messianic church, and they're starting to do all the things, you know, back under the covenant. They're going to dress that way and do all that way. Paul says right here, he said, there is no Jew. I know, I told you I'd upset your apple cart. You know, we want to, do, you know, go with the prayer shawls and do all these kind of things. Listen, he said here, there is no Jew or Greek anymore in Christ Jesus. Thank you for that. It's not my message, but it might help us. He said, there's neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. Oh, well, I just don't believe in them women doing anything in the church. Well, we just solved your problem. You don't have a theological problem anymore, do you? Are you reading that in your Bible? Do you see it? It's up on the screen. I'm not making this up. Oh, boy. You know, it's amazing. We believe in stuff on paper sometimes, don't we? But, you know, it can get messy when you try to walk it out. Isn't that true? It's what he said. He said, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If you belong to Christ, well, do you? Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Glory to God. You're heirs. Hallelujah. Man, in the natural, you know, you may not have any rich heirs that you're waiting to go on to the other side and leave you a big inheritance. But I got news for you. If you belong to Christ, you're an heir. Amen. Now, listen, he says, what I'm saying is this, that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. Now, I'm talking about receiving our inheritance. Receiving our inheritance. Now, with that in mind, and with that kind of our backdrop, I want us to turn over in the Old Testament to 2 Kings. Because I want to look at some things here as a type for us. And I think that we can see some biblical spiritual principles here that will help us to move to a place to receive our inheritance. Because he said, as long as you're a child, here's the principle, as long as you're a young'un, you're a child, you are not going to receive the full inheritance. You're not going to be able to receive and enjoy all the full benefits, even though you're an heir. And this is where I see many, many people in the body of Christ. They are in Christ Jesus. They've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. They are heirs. Everything that's in this book, everything in the new covenant, all the promises of God are theirs, but they're not enjoying all the promises and the benefits thereof. Can I hear a holy grunt somewhere? And that may be, you know, and here's the thing. I put myself in that category. I'm not enjoying all the benefits that I see in there. Do you? How about you? Anybody else? Can we be honest enough to admit that? Amen. Now, thank God we're enjoying a lot of them. And thank God for the ones we're enjoying. But I want to receive the full inheritance. So I want to look here, a story probably that we're very familiar with, and I want to draw some principles out of this in the background of this process of growing up so that what we can receive our inheritance. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal." And Elijah said, by the way, Gilgal was the place where Israel first crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. That was a place of circumcision. That was a place where all those who had been born up, that new generation that had been raised up after the old one had died, they were circumcised. And the first place where they were at were Gilgal. That literally means a rolling away. Amen. A rolling away of the old life. So they're coming from this place of covenant, Gilgal. And it says, and Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you not know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them went and crossed over on dry ground. Glory to God. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit." Everybody say inherit. "A double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." Now I want to stop there for a moment. Now I want to look at these 10 verses here and draw some spiritual insight from them and apply them to you and I as believers, because even though, yes, this is under the old covenant, we can see some spiritual principles of the kingdom of God that still can apply to us as we endeavor to what? Receive the fullness of our inheritance. Can you say amen? Now notice the first place he said, "I'm going to Bethel." And you notice over and over here, the prophet always was saying, he was saying, "You wait here." Now, you know, it's an interesting thing, but how many of you know that God will let you stop anywhere along this Christian journey that you decide to? He will let you sit down on your blessed assurance. Amen? Sure. There are church houses full of saved, born-again Christians, but you know what? They have stopped at a place along the journey somewhere, and they were where they were comfortable. And you know where they stopped 20 years ago or 15 years ago or 30 years ago or in some cases longer, at that point, at that time, it was on a cutting edge of where God was, of what God was doing in their life. They were at a place of freshness and newness, of anointing and discovery of God and His covenant and His promises. And man, they just decided, this is enough for me. This is great. It can't get any better than this. And over again, we see here where the prophet here, he tells, Elijah says, "Elisha, just wait here. You've come far enough. I mean, you've been to Gilgal." He said, "Why not? You know, you're in the covenant. You're saved. You're born again. This is good enough. I mean, hallelujah." You know, there are multitudes of Christians that are satisfied with just the born again experience. And thank God for that. But how many know God's got more? I said, God's got more. And so he says, "I'm going up to Bethel." Bethel means house of God. House of God. You know, there are many, many of these born-again Christians. They got saved. They're born again. Maybe, you know, they may have come to a church service, or somebody may have led them to the Lord, or they may have picked up a track, or they may have seen a preacher on TV, or, you know, a lot of different ways, and they truly got born again. But you know what? They've never moved on to Bethel. They've never grown in their spiritual life and in their walk with God. They've never discovered the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or how that they can have an ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit or with the Father God. They don't understand about some of the deeper truths of God, about how God wants to use them and how God's placed in them spiritual truths and spiritual gifts that were supposed to be developed and mined and used to bless others. You know why? Because they were never committed to Bethel, the house of God. And I'm going to say something, and you're going to say, oh yeah, that's exactly what I expect a pastor to say. But let me just say this. If you are not committed, and I'm speaking in general to any Christian, any born-again Christian, if you're not committed to Bethel, a house of God, a local expression of the body of Christ somewhere, if you're not committed to that, you are not going to grow and receive the fullness of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. Remember what it said over there in Ephesians 4? It says, when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. Isn't that right? And he talks about what we sometimes call the fivefold ministry, or the ascension gifts. They're referred to the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Then if you look over in 1 Corinthians 12, down around about verse 28 or 30, it says, and God has set some in the church. And he goes on and he talks about apostles, prophets, and so forth, talks about the ministry gifts. Well, here's the thing. If God set those gifts in the church, then he set them in what? Bethel. And he put those gifts there, what? So that we could all come to maturity, unto the stature, the measure, the fullness of Christ. Remember, he said, as long as you're a child, you're not going to receive the full inheritance. But if you grow up, then you're going to be able to what? To be able to receive and walk in the greater and fullness of the inheritance that God has for you. Amen. And that's where you begin to be productive. That's where we begin. God can use us. That's when we begin to be salt and light. But here's the thing. If God set those gifts in the church and I'm outside the church and those gifts are needed to help me grow, then how am I going to grow? Hey, I'm just telling you the word of God. Listen, just write down those references I gave you to Ephesians. You probably already know them. But we have to be taught, we have to be encouraged, we need relationships, not only just those gifts, but from one another. Yeah. We need to be encouraged, we need to be in relationship to one another. Right. I need what you have, you need what I have. And he said, God has sent me, notice he said, God has sent me to Bethel. And you know what? Elisha said, well, bless God, if you're going to Bethel, I'm going to Bethel. Amen. You know, we ought to be like the prophet. We ought to be influencing other people to go to Bethel. Amen. To the house of God. If you know people and bless their heart, you know, sometimes Christians don't know any better and some are all mixed up and some been taught wrong and they think, you know, I can just sit at home and just watch the TV preachers and that will be good enough. Well, God's got a different opinion. I'm sorry. You've got one opinion. God's got another. I'm sorry. You know, you decide whose opinion should be right. Amen. And we shouldn't just say, oh yeah, that's right. That's not right. You know, there ought to be. Now, I understand, you know, there people may have a house church or something like that, but you in front of the TV does not constitute a church.
That's right.
I'm talking, even if you're listening to a preacher, and I have nothing against listening. There's some of them I do, but, you know, there's a lot of good ones on there. You know, like Brother Hagin said, you know, have the sense of an old cow, eat the hay and spit out the sticks.
That's right.
That's good advice, isn't it? And keep your finger there, but I want to read you a verse in Hebrews 10:25. Let's read over there. Notice what it says here in the Bible. Hallelujah. You know, I found out this. We all have opinions, but once we go to the Word, that settles it.
Amen.
Or it ought to. You know, some people have such a high opinion of their opinion, you know, that it doesn't matter if you show it to them in black and white in the Bible. Bless God, they're going to stick with their opinion. verse 25. He said, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Uh-oh. I should save this message for Sunday. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another. Well, how are we going to do that if we don't get together? Let us encourage one another, and all the more, say all the more with me, all the more, as you see the day approaching. What day is that? Well, I believe it's the day we're in, don't you? The day of the Lord is capitalized in your Bible. That usually refers to the day of the Lord. In other words, the soon appearing of Jesus. So here's the thing, as times get worse, which the Bible says they will, as we get closer and closer to the day, evil men are going to wax worse and worse. Things are going to get worse and worse. He said, all the more reason, what? For us not to forsake what? Bethel. The house of God. All the more reason we need the ministry gifts. All the more reason we need one another. All the more reason we need to come together as the body of Christ. So here's the thing. If we're going to receive our inheritance, listen, God set it up this way. And you know, like I told you a long time ago, and I'll share it again because somebody may be here that didn't hear me say it about the greatest revelation I've had so far. Anybody here never heard me tell you what my greatest revelation from God is so far? One of you? Nobody? You've all heard it. Okay, then I'm not going to mention it. Okay. He says, but Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you. Now, here's the thing. The first thing we see here with Elisha is this, is that he is persevering. Persevering. One of the reasons we need one another is we need the encouragement and the strength that we gain from one another together at Bethel so that what? We can persevere as what? The day approaches.
Amen.
I mean, everything. Al and I were chatting just before it started, and he said, boy, he said, I hope you have some good news tonight, because he said, everything out there is bad. And that's the truth, isn't it? It's bad news. Bad news. The only place there's good news is in this Bible, in the Word of God. As we come together, the only place unconditional love you're going to find it is at Bethel. And if we're going to be like Elisha, where we have the strength to persevere. I know nobody besides me has ever felt like giving up, have you? I didn't think so. The thought might hit you once in a while, right? See, that's why we need to come together and come together. Praise God, brother, God's going to bring us through. And you go, yes, that's right. Isn't that right? We get encouraged and we can persevere. He said, the Lord has sent me down to Jericho. Now, notice this. You know, Jericho means this, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Listen, if we are going to receive, we're talking about receiving our inheritance. If we're going to grow up and we're going to move past the childhood, babyhood stage, we're going to grow up, as it were, in Christ Jesus, neither men nor women, but in Christ Jesus, a new creature, and receive it. Listen, you're going to have to cultivate this quality. You're going to have to be faithful.
Yeah.
Oh, I know this is old-fashioned stuff, isn't it? We've got to be faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to our commitment to Him. Faithful to His Lordship. Faithful to the Word of God that He has taught us so far. We've got to be faithful to the house of God. Faithful to one another. Amen. We cultivate faithfulness. Listen, without faithfulness, you will not grow. So, you ever seen them? And we've seen these dear people, all our lives. Dear people, saved people, precious people. Get around them, you just enjoy being with them. But, you know, ever seen these people? They're unfaithful. I mean, you know, you look around and, you know, once in a while they're in church. And I guarantee you, you show me somebody that's unfaithful, and I'm going to show you somebody that's living defeated. I'm going to show you somebody that's up and down like a yo-yo. You know, up one day and down the next. They're always looking for somebody, you know, to help them get to victory. They're always looking for somebody that can pray the prayer of faith. They're always looking for somebody, you know. But here's the thing. If they would just get faithful, Oh, they don't. You don't need the latest word from the latest prophet. You just need to get faithful.
Amen.
A lot of people, if they just get faithful to the house of God, get faithful to the word of God that's already been taught them, just be faithful with what God's given them so far. You know what? They'd experience more victory than they've ever had in all the years they've been a Christian. Listen, walking in victory is not a big mystery. It's not, oh, if I can get this big lightning bolt from heaven to come down and zap me every day and I'll have the victory. That's not it. Thank God when God moves upon us. But I want to tell you what it's about. It's about faithfulness. It's about every day putting down those feelings, putting down that flesh that says, well, let's just don't pray today. Let's don't read today. Let's don't go to church today. Let's don't do. And you know, you put down that junk. Let me read you from Proverbs. We're talking about receiving our inheritance. You still want it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Proverbs 28, I could quote it, but I want us to turn over there. I know sometimes I quote them for sake of time. But Proverbs 28 and verse 20. A faithful man will be richly blessed. Hello. A faithful man or woman will be richly blessed.
Amen.
Faithful, steady, consistent, dependable,
yep.
Faithful. Oh, man. Give me faithful people over people who have great talents and abilities. Give me faithful people over people who have just charismatic personalities. Give me faithful people. Isn't that right? Somebody, God's looking for somebody He can depend upon. Listen, God can anoint, He can anoint a bush. He did it. Moses saw this bush, it kept burning and it wasn't consumed. God anointed a bush. And then, if that wasn't enough, the bush spoke. Read over there. Lordy. If He can anoint a bush, He can anoint a faithful person, can He?
Amen.
Amen. And He says here, a faithful man is what? Is you're going to be richly blessed. What? We're talking about receiving our inheritance. Well, if we receive the inheritance that's been left for us in Christ Jesus, you will be richly blessed.
Amen.
The Bible says we can come to the place where we walk in our inheritance where we are the head and not the tail. We're always above and never beneath. Whoa. Receiving our inheritance. He says, so what do we got to do? God's looking for us to pass through this place called what? Jericho. Faithfulness. He's looking to see, are you faithful? Can He count on you? Can He depend on you? Man, I know as a pastor, there's nothing I value more than a faithful person. Man, oh man, oh man. Man, you look, man, I know, man, if the church door's open, bless God, they're going to be there. If something's not up, you know, they're going to be there. You know what I mean. People go on vacation, do stuff. You know what I'm talking about. But I mean, you know, you don't go, you know, well, you know, I've had people since I've been here. Man, pastor, bless God, man, I'm with you all the way. I'm behind you all the way. The problem is they're so far behind me, I can't see them. You know? They come every 2 months. It sure is, honey. I know I'm preaching mostly to the choir. But here's the thing. If you receive your inheritance in God, then you know what we can do? We can provoke some of these other people maybe. Amen? And you know, you might need to dust off one of these. You never know. Amen? So notice it says the company of the prophets at Bethel came to Elisha. He said, don't you know? He said, yeah, I know it. He said, the Lord sent me to Jericho. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. How many of you know you'll be tempted to be unfaithful? You know what I'm talking about? To God. To the people of God. To your commitment you made. Glory to God. And I'm going to tell you what, you know. But here's the thing. The cost of being unfaithful is way, way high. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, we seem to think we can camp out and everything will be all right. When God says it's a walk of faith, God never said it's a camp out of faith. That expression is never used anywhere in the Scriptures. Amen. God didn't say, okay, you know, stop here and go no further. Now, remember what I said. God will let you because you have a free will. He'll let you stop anywhere you want to. You make up your mind. How many of us found that out? We know that. Notice then, he said, as surely as the Lord lives, I will not leave you. So they went on what? To Jericho. Then the company of prophets at Jericho. Notice at each of these places, there was a company of prophets. But it doesn't, as far as we know, none of them left. As far as we know, at each place, at Bethel, there was a company of prophets. At Jericho, there was a company of prophets. But why didn't any of them follow after? They could have. I said they could have. That evidently, they were content to be where they were. Isn't that right? One man, the prophet was moving on, and the other guy says, hey, I'm going. Listen, and as far as we know, Elijah didn't even tell the company of prophets, don't follow. He didn't say anything to them. I mean, if anybody would have been tempted to stay in one place, it would have been Elijah, wouldn't it? And yet he had that spirit about him. And I'm telling you, I don't know, except you got to cultivate this yourself. And I believe faithfulness is one of the ways you cultivate it. I mean, where, you know, you just, something on the inside of you gets built so strong, that tenacity, that thing gets built in you so strong that even when you want to give up, you ought to give up, you should give up, you ought to throw in the towel, bless God, you can't. Something on the inside of you just won't let you. You know what I mean? God, just leave me alone. I'm going to quit. No, you're not. See, that's when you get something. So he went on down to Jordan. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord, verse 6, has sent me to Jordan. Now, Jordan, passing over Jordan, of course, you know, went on down there and he crossed over it. Passing over Jordan is a type of death to self. Oh boy, here's where the shouts come in. No one who does not die to the flesh in his own natural thinking will be able to receive the fullness of their inheritance. Boy, this is happy stuff. You know, we're coming up pretty soon on the Olympics, right? Y'all aware of that? And you know what? Anybody wants to can be in the Olympics, right? Just show up. I'm breathing. Here I am. I'm ready to run in the 100 meter. Here's the thing. If they have to qualify for an earthly prize, but us Christians, we think, we're just going to sit back on the Cadillac Express. Just cruising back here, you know, yeah. It ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen. You know, and it amazes sometimes, you know, some Christians, they just act shocked that, you know, I got to do something. I thought it was all free. Look here in Galatians 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ, got anybody that belongs to Christ? Have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Now, who did he say is going to crucify that? God's going to, right? No. Boy, don't we wish. He said, those who are Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its desires. Here's the thing. Because here's the thing. The flesh and those sinful desires that's in your flesh, that natural thinking, if you stay there, if you don't get your mind renewed, if you let your flesh and your natural mind dominate you, you will not receive the fullness of your inheritance. Because your natural thinking will talk you out of it, and your flesh will keep you from entering into it. There won't be enough of discipline in you to develop any faithfulness, to develop any spiritual character, any spiritual strength, any faith in God. You know? And so what will happen is that it will become a drag on you. Remember what it says in Hebrews? He said, He said, laying aside every sin and every weight that does hinder us. And let us run what? With what? Patience. The race set before us. Let us run. Let us run that race. And so here's the thing. If we don't put those things off, it's implied that what? You won't be able to run your race. And so we've got to lay those things aside. And so he said, we're talking about receiving our inheritance, the fullness of our inheritance, as long as we stay children. And you know, here's the thing. You ever notice about children? You know, the only thing that motivates them usually is their flesh and what they want at the moment. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? You know, I want ice cream. Get me ice cream. You know, I want to watch TV. Turn the TV on. You know, I want this. I want that. That's it. I mean, that's what, you know, and that's a child for you, Noah. But here's the thing. As Christians, if we let our own appetites and our fleshly desires, and that's all that control us, I promise you. What would that, go back to that natural child, what would that child do if it didn't have a responsible parent or adult there to direct and guide that? You just leave that child to itself. Man, they would, their teeth would rot and fall out eventually. Isn't that right? Yeah. Their body would be malnourished. Yeah. They wouldn't, you know, it would be a mess. You know, and I know if it was like when my kids were real little, I know they would never take a bath. Especially if you had boys. Isn't that right? So we see that thing here. So, you know, we have to be able to what? To die to self. If we're going to receive the fullness of the inheritance, we're going to have to do that. And you've got to crucify the flesh. I can't crucify yours. You can't crucify mine. Now, how many of you know crucify doesn't have a good connotation? Isn't that right? In other words, you put it to death. How do you put it to death? You don't let it have its way. You know how you deal with a child, a spoiled child? You don't let it have its way. You want to spoil a child? Give them everything they want whenever they want it all the time. Let them have their way all the time. Boy, you will have a doozy on your hand. And I'm telling you what, the same thing's true about your flesh. You let it do whatever it wants to do, whenever it wants to do. This is why it's good, you know, to get into the spiritual disciplines we've talked about. Seasons of prayer and waiting on God. Times of fasting. Come on. Serving. Amen. Woo, that costs me my time. My time is valuable. I'm important. That's the flesh speaking. We have to crucify that thing, don't we? And it's just let me tell you right now, it's no fun to it. But there's benefit out of it. Just like those athletes. Boy, you and I are sleeping. They're up and at it. I mean, and they're going through a regimen that's, whoo, man, bring tears to our eyes. But you know what? They're doing it just to cross the finish line and get that medal. To them, it's all worth it. How much more? What we receive not only in this life, but in the life to come. We receive the fullness of our inheritance. And we're going to see what that is here in just a minute. And it says, again, 50 of the prophets were there. 50 of the prophets and 50 men in verse 7 of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elisha and Elisha stopped at Jordan. Now, as far as we know, these 50 never crossed over. Doesn't say they did. We don't know that they did. Now, it's interesting, the number 50 has is symbolic. It stands for Jubilee or Pentecost. So if you want to really enter into the fullness of inheritance, and you remember, you can read in Exodus 25 about Jubilee, but basically it was this. At the 50th year, and they would offer the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. The priest would do it. Then another priest would blow a silver trumpet. And then when that trumpet sound, every man's debt was released. Yeah. If they'd lost their property in the house, they got it back. If their sons and daughters had to go and serve somebody else to pay off the debt, they all come back. Whew. Don't you know that was good to be alive in the 50th year? Yeah. Glory to God. Can you imagine? The night before, you know, tomorrow is the Day of Atonement and it's the year of Jubilee. I bet you couldn't sleep for nothing. Just waiting for that cock-a-doodle-doo. Man. As soon as it gets light, let that priest get going. He can't blow that trumpet soon enough for me. Isn't that right? Notice now, it says here, 50 prophets, which represents Jubilee, Pentecost, or freedom. Now listen, many have caused their Jubilee inheritance to be delayed because they're standing far off from what God's doing. They won't cross over. Now listen, when they stood far off, they saw Elijah and Elisha. They stood far off, they saw him smite the waters. They stood far off, they saw the waters divided. They saw the two men walk across it and the waters come back. You know, and that's where a lot of Christians are. They see other people that are blessed. They see other people that are healed. They see other people that God's using. They see God doing things for other people and they see it and they know it's real. But for some reason, they don't have it. You know why? They're standing afar off. Their flesh is holding them down. So that, you know, rather than recognizing that and just saying, you know, I'm going to crucify this flesh, we just come up, it's easier just to say, well, God wants to do that for some, but not for others. You know, it's easier to pick up that spiritual donut and have that crutch to lean on, that God does it for some but not for others, than to be able to say, you know what, bless God, that inheritance is mine too. I'm passing over. Bless God, I'm going to do me some fasting and praying, and I'm going to wait on God, and I'm going to get into my prayer closet and into this word, and bless God, I'm going to get my inheritance. Amen. Now, there's no use thinking the pastor's going to get it for you because he can't. I would if I could, but I can't. Remember Moses? He was anointed, wasn't he? As anointed as he was, he couldn't take them in on his own anointing. Glory to God. I mean, he talked to God face to face. So don't get mad at me because I can't get you in. Woo. Zing. That's the word, isn't it? Isn't that right? Man, I'm telling you, you know. I mean, Moses split the Red Sea. I can't even, you know, split a bowl of pea soup. So, you know, so here's the thing. I'm just saying, you know, we get these ideas in our head and in our mind, and we think, okay, that's going to do it, but it's not. So here's the thing. These people, they see God doing all kind of wonderful things in other people's life, but they never get them themselves. You know, I'm going to quote somebody else, so don't get mad at me. Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin. He used to say this. He said these people, he said every once in a while they get a slopped over blessing. Now, he said that. I didn't. So get mad at him. He's with the Lord, so you can get mad. What does that mean? That some every once in a while, somebody might get a little touch, you know, because maybe there's a corporate anointing or maybe a special gift of the Spirit to move or something, and you get a slopped over blessing. He's not saying that the blessing is slop. What he's saying, you know, you've ever been carrying a bucket of water, it was almost full, and it just sloshed over. Okay? In case you misunderstand me, I try to make myself clear. I didn't misquote you, brother, if you're up there looking over the banister. Now, notice this. After he passed over Jordan, what proved he was sincere? What proved he was truly desiring of this was what? Is that what? He was what? Proven his, and he received his heart's desire. Look down there. It says, verse 9. When they had crossed Jordan, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Listen. After he was proven, Elisha received his heart's desire. Listen, you read in another place, Elijah served Elisha for 10 years. 10 years. For 10 years. Elisha, he didn't have a goosebump for 10 years. He didn't have one miracle for 10 years. He didn't have one vision for 10 years. He just, you know what it says about him? It says he poured the water over Elijah's hands. Oh, I want my ministry. Oh, I want God to use me. Oh, I want to do. Hey, listen, you're going to have to be proven first. Woo. Boy, Pastor, this is good teaching. Turn to Psalm 37. Turn over there. Why is it sometimes, you know, we think, well, God, why? What's the delay? You know, it may be that you're the delay. I can't say. But we need to definitely look at our hearts and our lives, don't we? It's good to take spiritual inventory. Amen. Of yourself, not others. Oh, we're all, oh, man, I can check them off. Yeah, I mean, everything the pastor's saying, yeah, they need that, and they need that, and they need that. You know? What was the old song you used to sing, Lord, it's me that's standing in the need of prayer? Amen. Humility will take you a long way. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do it. Listen, that's what was happening here. Elisha, for 10 years, not a vision, not a miracle, not a goosebump of the anointing. No experience at all. Oh, he saw what all God did through Elijah. Oh, he saw a tremendous thing, but he didn't have none of it. Come on. But God says, now I see you've gone from Gilgal to Bethel. You've gone to Jericho, your place of faithfulness. Now you passed over Jordan to the place of dying to self. You have moved through this process where you've delighted yourself in God. You've put God first in your life. You've done this. And now he says, you ask of me, what is it that you want? Woo, man. Didn't Jesus say something similar? He said, whatsoever things you desire. Well, here's the thing. How are we going to get that desire? The psalmist said, delight yourself in the Lord. See, we mix up desire and want. Wish. Whatsoever things you wish for. You know, we're like Disneyland kiddies. You know, we got Disneyland thinking. When you wish upon a star. Remember that little song? That's not what he said. No, he said, you got to delight yourself in the Lord. And he said, when you do that, what? Just like he said here, he said, you ask me what I want to do for you. We're talking about receiving your inheritance. It's there. It's ready. It gets paid for. It's laid up for you. You know, but here's the thing. It doesn't just fall on you. Wouldn't it be great if it did? Probably not. We'd probably make a big mess of it. Isn't that right? Do you imagine if Bill Gates had a son that was 15 years old or 14 years old and he just said, here, son, here's all my billions. It would probably be the ruination of his son. Wouldn't it? Even though his dad wants him to have it. And see, here's the thing. It's laid up for us. Our Father wants us to have it. But here's the thing. We got to grow up enough to what? To be able to receive our inheritance. So it gave time for God to work. And God has to have time to work in us. Now, here's the thing. If you camp out at Gilgal, well, thank God. You're saved. You're going to heaven. We're glad for that. That's a good thing to be glad about, isn't it? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It's better than going to hell. I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know that. And then going to heaven beats going to hell. Amen. Can I get a witness? So we thank God for that. But here's the thing, that God has more for you. God has more for us. There's more in the inheritance through what Jesus did in his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension and sending of the Holy Ghost. There's more for us. Now, I'm going to sum this up. If I can. First of all, in this process, committed to the house of God and the people of God, faithful in service to God. I'm talking about how you can receive your inheritance. Dying to self, crucifying the flesh, and allowing God's desires to be birthed within us. See, this is why we have to be faithful. I shared Monday night, those of you who are here for praying, I shared about a place in Genesis there called Jabbok. Anybody remember that was here Monday night? Remember you talking about? It was a place that became, when the Israelites came into the promised land, it became a place of limitation for them. You read over there and over there again. They came up as far as Jabbok, but no further. They couldn't get over it. They didn't get over it for whatever reason. They didn't get over it. But you go back and read earlier, there, if they'd gone back and knew about their ancestor, Jacob, it says that Jacob passed over Jabbok by wrestling with the angel of God. He wrestled in prayer. And he said this. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Whew. See, many of us, we get right up to it. And we stop at Jabbok. We don't cross over. And then after dying to self, allowing God's desires to be birthed in us, we receive the inheritance. What is that? Our Jubilee anointing, which overflows from our lives into others. Now, you know the story here. He said, if you see me go, you get the double portion. You know, he saw the chariot of fire come down and he got the double portion. Now, you know, it's interesting because when you look at it here, you find out that Elisha worked twice as many miracles as Elijah did. But one other thing that I want to draw your attention to, 2 Kings, still there, skip down to verse 19. What was the first miracle after Elisha received this double portion? He received this jubilee. He received this inheritance of the anointing from God after he was faithful, after he died to himself, after he persevered. Notice it says, the men of the city came to Elisha and said, look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Bring me a new bowl, he said, and he put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring. He threw salt into it, saying, this is what the Lord says. I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained wholesome to this day. Notice the first miracle he did after he himself had received the inheritance. He went out and produced what? Healing for the land. And isn't it interesting that he used salt? What did Jesus say that you and I are to be? We are to be salt. And so here's the thing. When we receive our inheritance, what we receive, an overflow of Jesus in our life, just like the prophet. And it's not just that, you know, God's going to load things down on us. It's so that we can be used of God, just like the prophet was used of God, to bring healing where there was death and to bring productivity where the land was unproductive. In other words, we can begin to touch other people's lives and make a difference. What is the reason why? You know, sometimes I think as pastors and leaders in the church, we are urging people who are not yet equipped and ready to go out and heal. They're at Gilgal. You don't see the company of prophets here that were at Bethel or were on the other side of Jordan. You don't see them here healing the land. Why didn't one of them? I mean, 50 prophets. You think 50 of them would get it done? But they didn't. It took something more. What? It took him moving through this process and receiving the fullness of God's inheritance, the anointing, the overflow of Jubilee. For us, it would be Pentecost flowing out from us so that we really are salt, not just in theory, not just technically. We didn't just go to the lawyer's office and read the document. Bless God, we've got the money in hand. And that's where we've missed it. And we're telling people to go out and do things, and they're not ready to do it. Come on. Boy, it's gotten quiet in here. You said, Pastor, I thought this was going to be something good for us. It is. Amen? Listen, he healed the waters that were bitter and made the lives of the people that were hard and unproductive. He turned it around. Listen, what's the inheritance Why does God want us to have the fullness of the inheritance? Remember, he said, you grow up into the stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ. What's the reason that? Because he wants us to be able to go out and bring healing. He wants us to go out and bring wholeness. He wants us to be able to deliver people. The problem is, we haven't gone through this process enough. We can't deliver people. We got people that are still camped out at Gilgal trying to cast out a devil, and it ain't going to happen. Well, the Word says. Well, I know. Yeah, the Word says. You can raise the dead. Have you done it yet? Come on. But we know of people who have. People, you know, I'm sure in China, you probably hear all kinds of things. Other countries too. People say, well, why are we hearing all this happen? Listen, they've entered into their inheritance. We don't have time to pray and to fast and to wait on God and to get in the Word and crucify the flesh. We got too much to entertain us, too much to draw us aside, too much to distract us and all that kind of thing. But yet we hear teaching that, you know, we read from our Bible about what God said concerning our inheritance, what our ministry is, and we go out and try to do it and we strip a gear because we're not in a position to do it. Awful quiet in here. Y'all were shouting a while ago. Amen. So here's the thing. You say, how can we get there? I'm going to reiterate this and then we're going to close. Listen, it's not hard. Well, let me put it this way. It's not complex. That's what I meant. It's not complex, but it can be hard. You know, you say, how you know it's hard? Because it wasn't everybody to do it. First of all, what did he say? Committed to God and to the people of God, Bethel. Commitment. Commitment. You know, here's the thing you check. Where is your commitment? You know, if I were to ask you to just write it down just for your own benefit, but between on a scale of 1 to 5, where's your commitment to God? Where's it at? I mean, be real. Just be brutally, just... Be easy with people, but be tough on yourself. We turn that around a lot of times, don't we? We're easier on ourselves and tough on everybody else. On a scale of 1 to 5, where's your commitment to the house of God, to the people of God? Where's it at? You fair weather Christian, if it's convenient, if I feel like it, my feelings all line up, if I hear they're having a guest minister, if there's a great move of God coming, well, I might come. But can you be like Elisha was, you know, for 10 years, not a goosebump, yet he was faithful. You know, under the Old Testament, only the prophet, the high priest, and the king had any measure of the Holy Spirit in their lives. While he was serving the prophet there, while he was serving Elijah, he didn't have none. Come on. And I mean, man, we're born again. Our sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit's living in us. Many of us are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. We got 1,400 Bibles. Somebody, you know, and yet we can't come 4 weeks in a row. Oh, but we want to split the Red Sea. It's not going to happen. Faithfulness to God. I'm just reiterating. We're going to close in just a minute. Faithfulness to God. How to do faithfulness and service to God. How can you, I mean, if you're just an island to yourself and it's you and Jesus, how are we going to measure whether or not you're faithful? How do you measure that? Amen. If you were a boss and you had an employee, how would you measure faithfulness? What's one of the first things you would use to measure? Showing up every day. There you go, brother. You're talking like a real boss, man. Isn't that the truth? Man, I mean, that's half the battle if you just show up. Isn't that right? Glory to God. If he shows up, you can teach him the job, can't you? Kind of hard to train him if he ain't there, isn't it? You know, now you know how I feel. Pray and study and walk up and down his auditorium prophesying over your life. I'd do it, boy. I'm telling you, I'd do it. Ready to go. And then, you know, don't come. I'm like, hmm. Here's the other one. Dying to self. And allowing God's desires to be birthed in us. Crucifying that old flesh. getting this thing up here renewed with the Word of God. Thing between our two ears, you know, that gray matter. And then he said, what? You're going to receive that Pentecost, that Jubilee. And you know what? You're going to do just like the prophet here. The first miracle he worked with that, what? He healed. Man. I mean, he touched a whole city here. And it said, man, listen, when it was done, I mean, it stayed done. Isn't that right? You know, and here's the thing. And I know, you know, all of us are at different places. All of us. Myself and all of us, you know. But here's the thing. I want more to move into that inheritance. See, you know, I said that to catch you because you thought I was going to talk about all the stuff God's going to give you. here's the thing. God wants to bless you, but, you know, that's the sideline. Amen? The blessings of God are the sideline. God's going to do that. But listen, touching another life, seeing people healed, seeing someone set free, seeing God work miraculously in other people's lives, man, that's where it's at. That's what it's all about. All this other stuff will take care of itself. Amen? So here's the thing. Let's just take an inventory, spiritual inventory, look there, bless God. You know, there's time. I do it all the time. Man, there's time. Okay, man, I talk to myself. I say, okay, boy, this ain't getting it. You're going to have to, you know, I do. I know it sounds crazy, don't it? Sometimes I get in front of the mirror. I talk to myself. If you're not doing this, you might need to. I do. I do it by myself because I don't want nobody to think I'm crazy. I'm telling you, but, you know, I do. I do. I remind myself, hey, listen, buddy, God called you. You got a responsibility. Yeah. You're going to answer to God. You better straighten up. You know, yeah. We need to do that sometimes to ourselves. Yeah. Amen. And then encourage one another. Because like we said, it's not complex, but it's not easy. That's the reason we need one another. You know, I know, tonight, are y'all doing your Taekwondo thing? You know, they do is it Taekwondo, am I saying? Taekwondo, you know, on Mondays and Wednesdays that I know of, and they do it other times. But you know what? It's a lot easier. You know, I notice you have a group. Now, what's one of the reasons you have a group? Isn't it easier when you have a group because you encourage one another? If it was just you by yourself, wouldn't you be tempted to just take off one Wednesday night or a Monday night? Isn't that right, Ava? Wouldn't it be easier? But, you know, as a group, if I don't show up, guess what? Well, where were you at? And you're a Christian, so you can't lie. So you're going to have to say, well, isn't that right? And it's the same thing, you know, with the body of Christ, we need one another. Why? Because it's not easy. And so we need that to receive our inheritance. Because your inheritance is right down there. He went to the city and he healed the water. Water is a great symbol of life, isn't it? God's called us to heal. You know, there's a lot of bitterness in people. People are bitter. You know, they're bitter. You know, Naomi changed her name to bitter. You know, she left the house of bread, married off, her husband died. You know the story, and her sons died. And her daughters, you know, and she said, you know, don't call me, blessed anymore. Call me bitter. A lot of bitter people, just like this well, bitter. But you know what? With the inheritance that we receive, the anointing we receive from God, you know what? We can heal those bitter waters. And without it, I'm telling you what, we can't do any better than any one of those talking heads on TV. Come on. Because all we got to give is just another opinion. And I'm so tired of opinions, aren't you? Lord of mercy. Some of those people, I think, man, I tell you what, I could save the network a lot of money. You could pay me about a third of what you're paying them, and I guarantee you I could talk a lot more intelligently. Not being critical, but you know, some of those people think, Lord, where'd they get these people? Receiving our inheritance. Let's go for it. What do you say?
Amen.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I'll encourage you if you'll encourage me. Yeah. It's a deal. Yeah. Let's encourage one another. Let's pray for one another. Amen. Because this is where God wants us to live. Not just talking about it. Not just theory. Not just getting here where we can get all excited about it. But out there where you meet the bitter people. Where you meet the hurting people. Where you meet people that are bound up and all kind of things. That's when, you know, I want to just talk about having the goods. I want to have the goods.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody else to talk about us having the goods.
There you go.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Glory to God. I tell you what, you get a hold of some of them people over there at Grace, I'm telling you what, they know God.
Yeah.
They in touch with God, man.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You say, well, you know, we don't want to be... Listen. Listen, the church in Jerusalem, in the book of Acts, it said that God was so mightily moving in and through them that nobody, that if you weren't a Christian, if you weren't serious about it, it said that nobody just went in to check out that church. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but it said no man dared join themselves to him. Man, there was a fear. I mean, they were carrying people out from their services, and they weren't just slain in the spirit. I mean, they were dead. Isn't that right? But at the same time, what? The shadow of Peter healed people. Whew. I guarantee I'd get you some free air time. Wouldn't it? But here's the thing. Let's go for our inheritance. Let's don't stay children. Let's grow up. Amen? Okay. All righty. Well, I went over a couple of minutes, but that's all right. It's good for us. Hallelujah. All right, guys, we're going to let you, those of you that like to, give you an opportunity to give tonight real quickly before we go.